When the guys asked me what my perfect night would be, I told them the truth. Beer and board games. They thought I was kidding. I was not kidding.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means that it is episode 133 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast.
God bless America.
God bless America. God bless you, listener, for listening. I am your host, Eric Walquist. Joining me this week, as he does every single week, is the other host of this show. His name is...
Jesse Wilson. Eric, I've drank a lot of beer today.
Oh, good. This should be a great podcast.
I got caught up in a conversation at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how that goes where yep. It's like, I finished my beer, but the guy I'm talking to has a full beer. Oh, so mm-hmm. I'm going to order another one. Then he's halfway yep. done and you're still working on yours. So yep. he orders another one mm-hmm. and you're caught in this like Mexican drink off.
Yep. Infinity
that
beer.
To me.
Well, that'll happen every once in a while.
And then you record a podcast.
So I suppose you won the drink off?
You know, I like to think that there are no losers in a Mexican drink off, only winners.
I like to think that everybody loses.
Not the proprietor.
Well, there you go. Jesse, how was your week?
Good. I played in a Magic the Gathering league
Ooh,
yesterday.
Wow, taking it to the next level.
Yeah. I joined late.
Uh-huh.
It was the third game. So I guess the league goes for five games.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined in game three
right.
out of five. So I was at a marked disadvantage
right.
for sure.
Well, what's the format? So what are you guys playing?
Three best of three matches.
How do you get your cards together?
Well, week one,
uh-huh.
you buy six booster packs, and then you buy an additional booster pack each week to supplement your deck.
Okay. So it's like
and
a,
you can
it's
trade.
A, it's a sealed tournament. Oh, cool. There's trades.
Yeah, so you can trade. Mm. Basically, all the cards that are purchased are contained, and then it's up to people to build their deck and trade within that
right.
Parameter.
So it's like fantasy football, but for Magic players in Port Townsend only.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was like.
Okay, what kind of deck did you build?
I did a black-white Vorzov.
Ah, nicely done. Just straight up black-white?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I had about 7 minutes to build my deck.
Oh, wow.
Before play.
Uh-huh.
So, I wasn't gonna mess with a tricolor deck.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically just made the best black-white deck I could in that period of time. And I had one win, one loss, one tie.
Yeah, that's not bad. Wow,
one
tie.
I think it's pretty damn good for coming in, late.
How did you tie?
Basically, our games took so long that I won the first game of the match, he won the second game of the match, and by the time the third game of the match would have begun, time was already over.
Yeah. So, and you only play one person?
No, you play three.
Oh, okay.
Three best of threes.
Got it. Well,
it was fun. I pulled a Mythic Rare and built my deck around that, which helped a lot.
Excellent.
It's a... It's two colorless, two black, two white for a 5/5 creature.
Uh-huh.
He comes into play. You gain two life. Your opponent loses two life.
Mm-hmm.
And then during your end step, you may choose to exile him. If you do, he comes back into play at your upkeep step with haste.
But then you can come in, and if you have Orzhov, then you can extort him for as many extorts as you have. So you not only do two life, then you get any other life with an extort.
I don't know if that...
Oh, yeah.
He's
a spell,
works.
Baby.
Does... Yeah, but you're not casting the spell because you're not paying the mana cost.
Right. I think just... But the first time he comes on the play, you can do that.
Oh, yeah, you can. But really, he just comes... He keeps coming back every turn and hurting your opponent. It was... He won me every game that I won.
Excellent.
It was 'cause
has been Magic time.
Our listeners love it, damn it.
Magic, 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 magic Mike, magic Moons, magic... The Gathering. Anyway, I had a good week too. It was Liddy's birthday this week, so we went to Vashon Island. We stayed in
Didn't
a.
Did you have a bad experience there last time?
No, I haven't been to. Although that was Whid. Oh, I went to. We didn't go to Vashon. We went to Whidbey Island. I always get my islands mixed up.
Ah,
islands in the stream. That is what we are.
Whidbey Island's pretty cool. Did you see any jet fighters?
I did not see any jet fighters, but I did see a puppet shop, and somebody might have got somebody's baby a puppet.
Is it a creepy puppet?
It's kind of creepy, but it's cool.
Awesome.
I'm trying to buy your daughter non-gender specific toys, so she might have a dragon on a hand coming her way.
That sounds all right.
Yeah, there you go.
Right on, brother.
So anyway, that was fun. We had a good weekend. We had a party here on Monday night. We had a photo booth. It was a good time. We put on nature documentaries on silent during the party. That was a big win. This goes back to college. Like back in college when our parties were a little crazier, maybe fueled by a little bit of crazier stuff.
Like Mountain Dew.
Like total Mountain Dew. We would put on cartoons on silent during parties. And so I was like, well, we're more refined now, so let's go ahead and just put on nature documentaries, which is just as mind blowing. So anyway.
As cartoons.
Yes.
I would maybe lobby for more mind blowing.
Well, you apparently haven't seen Search for the Wolverine.
Because
it's mind blowing.
I've seen a lot of Ren and Stimpy, and I feel like that's about as mind-blowing as a cartoon can get.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking about the nature documentary. You thought, like, Search for the Wolverine was, like, an X-Men comic? Like an X-Men cartoon? Anyway, so all in all, pretty good week. Jesse, what are you drinking this week?
I'm drinking free beer from work.
Cool.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking wine. I'm classing it up. One thing we've... What? Mm-hmm. So this is one thing, you know, if you have an adult party, people bring you wine.
Mm-mm.
Uh-huh. And so I'm drinking the Pepperwood Grove Cabernet Sauvignon, the groovy green bottle, 17 wine enthusiast Best Buys, 21 spectator Best Buys, and... And I'm just sipping on some wine this week. Did you bite your tongue? What are you doing? Is your mouth full? Are you laughing? Are you trying to laugh, but you're trying to swallow at the same time? What are you doing? So anyway, I'm drinking wine.
Never drink wine on this podcast again, Eric.
Okay, fine.
All right.
I'm just trying to class it up a little bit. The ladies on the Because Show sound like they're having such a good time.
Wine is not class. Why is wine class? It's grapes. Mm-hmm. It's grapes that some Italian stepped on with bare feet and then it was left out for spontaneous fermentation. There's nothing classy about it.
Your description of the winemaking process is spot on.
I've read a book or two.
Well, the thing that I also think is hilarious about it is like beer is seen as less refined as wine.
But it takes way more work.
It takes way more work, and wine is way more alcohol content. So like you can get drunk a lot faster off of wine than you can off of beer. So in a lot of ways, beer is the more gentlemanly drink because you're not going to get a little.
Yeah, I don't know. Beer is the working man's drink.
Yeah.
The reason I'm opposed to you drinking wine on the podcast is because this isn't some bougie, you know, czarist, upper crust podcast. This is a working man's podcast, damn it.
All right. Well, speaking of bougie czarist stuff.
Great football player. Cornerback, I believe.
Yeah. Bougie czarist. Who's this episode dedicated to, Jesse?
Well, actually, speaking of football, did you hear about the new recruit for Alabama?
No.
The freshman coming in, he's playing defensive tackle.
Okay.
Which means he is on the defensive line.
Right.
His name is D-E-E Liner. D-Liner.
His last name's Liner?
Yes.
Wow.
And he plays on the defensive line.
That's awesome.
Liner.
Wow.
How great is that?
That is really cool.
So possibly the most spot on name in sports history.
Way to go, parents.
Yeah.
I'm going to name my child Mariner Spitcher.
I'm renaming my daughter Multi-Millionaire.
Hello, Multi.
I prefer Ms. Millionaire.
Mm-hmm. Well, Millionaire would be the middle name.
Oh. Well, you know, I'm not that signed off on Wilson.
Well, I think, D-liner, man, go for it. Way to go.
I love it.
Big win this week. In listener feedback this week, we got a bunch of stuff on our Facebook page. Each week we post on our Facebook page asking if you have any last minute topics or feedback that you'd like us to talk about on the show. We got a couple things that we'll hit in the middle of the show, but I wanted to just hit on some things. Jacob Jones Martinez, loyal listener, says, have you guys done a How Will We Record This podcast show? My brother and I have a podcast, and we're not in the same place either, so I'm curious how you guys record. We're just on Skype. We're just Skyping Jesse in. We have a Behringer Xenix 802 board, and I run everything into the board, and then I run it out into my computer, and we record on Audacity.
Eric makes it sound simple. I've tried to replicate what he does, and it's impossible.
It's nearly impossible. The number one thing requires
some sort of advanced degree.
I do have a degree in communication.
I know, exactly. I'm not being sarcastic.
Jacob, the number one thing you have to remember, and it's the number one rule of AV, is what goes in must come out. So just remember that, and you'll be golden. And let us know what your podcast is.
Hey, I appreciate you being classy and not like trying to plug your podcast on our podcast, but we would be happy to.
Yeah, just let us know what your podcast is called.
Because I want to listen to that.
Why not? James Patterson, he wrote in again this week. He says, I can't remember if I ever heard you guys talk about music. Have you guys heard anything cool / what do you like? Jesse, what do you like music wise?
Actually, my boss just asked me this today. He asked what my favorite band was. I wanted to answer the White Stripes, but I don't think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Jack White is my favorite songwriter.
Yeah, also greatest living guitarist, I would say.
Yeah, I think there's an argument there. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the White Stripes are my favorite band.
Okay.
I think my favorite band is the Animal Collective.
Well, there you go. I love the elephant in that band. I think he's related to Max Rebo.
It is Max Rebo.
My favorite band's Death Cab for Cutie. I don't know. The thing about it is, like, I put together this wedding dance mix for my wedding, which was in December. And so I've been listening to, like, nothing but poppy dance music. And now I'm kind of past that phase. And so now I'm kind of searching for, like, the next thing to grasp onto. And so I've been kind of revisiting my roots. So, like, I just downloaded the Arcade Fire Suburbs album again today because for some reason I didn't have it in my iTunes. I love that album. I'm just trying – I'm in the searching mode right now. So, James, if you have any suggestions, please go ahead and send them over, personalarrogance@gmail.com, or you can put it on our Facebook page.
Have you heard that new Postal Service song?
I think so. I think I listened to it once.
They've been playing it on the air a lot. I think it's kind of whack.
Yeah, it's the whole thing of, well, this is the thing. So Transatlanticism was the best Death Cab album, and the Postal Service album is also an amazing, amazing album. But now we're in this phase where Ben Gibbard has done a lot of stuff, and it's all been really great. But now he's at the phase of his life where he's just saying, well, now I'm just going to do whatever I want. And everybody's still on board because he's Ben Gibbard. But at the same time, Give Up was 10 years ago. I think they just released the 10th anniversary edition of it.
Yep.
That was the heyday. And that's why I love the Postal Service, because like that was when I was in late high school, early college, was when I got in the Postal Service and Death Cab. And I was, you know, it was very instrumental. It's one of those bands that, like, you look back on and it kind of shapes a time in your life.
It was instrumental.
Good
stuff.
So anyway, you know, he's in a phase, he's in the part of his career right now where, especially in Seattle, he's got a lot of cred and they're going to play whatever he puts on the air.
Right.
But I do think that probably Ben Gibbard's best writing days are behind him. That said, I buy every Death Cab album that comes out and listen to it religiously until it's broken down in my mind.
See, that's the thing. When he got divorced from Zooey Deschanel, everyone thought that all of his songwriting was going to improve.
Yeah, I know. He was getting too happy there for a while. We need melancholy Ben Gibbard back.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's been a kind of a rough winter.
We need Bremertonian back. He needs to move to Bremerton for like a year.
That'll really depress him.
He needs to take a cue from MXPX and move to Bremerton for a year, work in the shipyard, and then write songs at night.
God, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Anyway, so James, please let us know if there's any cool stuff out there that you would recommend to us. Jason Cornelius put us on, cued us into this Huffington Post article where a professor strips down and plays 9/11 footage to introduce a quantum mechanics class. Did you watch this video, Jesse?
No. Somehow, apparently, I missed all of this feedback.
Oh, okay. Well,
I thought I was on top of things, but
anyway, this professor, he's a quantum mechanics professor at Ivy League School, Columbia University in New York, and there's a video of his intro to the class, and he's got like the Misfits skull guy, and it says quantum mechanics on the screen, and then he takes off his clothes and then puts on a black suit, and then plays footage of Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein and the 9/11 attacks and Hitler. And the Third Reich, and the reason why he does this apparently is because he says in order to learn quantum mechanics, you have to strip to your raw, erase all the garbage from your brain, and start over again. So anyway, this video hit the web, and apparently a bunch of parents got pissed off that they're paying $60,000 a year for their children to get this kind of education. So Columbia responded by saying, universities are committed to maintaining a climate of academic freedom in which the faculty members are given the widest possible latitude in their teaching and scholarship. However, the freedoms traditionally accorded to the faculty carry corresponding responsibilities. Columbia's faculty handbook states, in conducting their classes, faculty should promote an atmosphere of mutual tolerance, respect, and civility, and should confine their classes to the subject matter covered by their courses. While one must exercise caution in judging excerpts from a lecture or short presentations from an entire course outside of their full context, the appropriate academic administrators are currently reviewing the facts of this particular presentation in quantum mechanics.
Was it like pro 9/11
or
something?
No, it was just images. Like they showed the planes crashing into the towers, and then they showed a bunch of dictators, and they showed like the Third Reich marching and stuff.
That's fine.
And they also had two like, I'm guessing their TAs come out in black outfits and chop up stuffed animals with swords.
So, I mean, it all sounds kind of pointless, but
right. But it is
so is quantum mechanics. Am I right? Am I right? Ladies know what I'm talking about.
Right, right. Yeah, that's the whole thing. It's like this guy's class, and he's an Ivy League professor, and if he is a quantum mechanics guy, he's probably a little nutso. So let him do his thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He's probably just trying to shock some suburban kids.
He's trying to make quantum mechanics really interesting. And more power to him.
Yeah. Yeah, he maybe dipped a little too much into the history professor's slideshow.
Yeah.
From the earlier class. Really?
Hey, can you just leave this?
Yeah, just leave this here. It's kind of interesting.
It.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have a lot of powerful images here. This will wake up the kids.
Yeah, I can morph this into something weird.
Yeah, we can work this. I mean, you collapse a wave function, and I mean, anything can really happen.
And then finally,
that's as good as I can do when it comes to quantum mechanics humor.
Better than I can. String theory or something. Joshua Canales is our final listener feedback this week. He wrote a very cryptic message. I'm just going to read it word for word, and we'll just go from there. He says, "Hey guys, a quick stop to say, get off my back, Joshua.
Get off my back.
Can't find my raccoon phone, but I found a way to communicate. A few things to say, and I will stop typing to listen. Do you guys have iPhones?" That's his first question. I have an iPhone. Jesse, you don't have an iPhone, do you?
No, sir.
Okay. Whatever happened to Hex Number. Hex 19, the podcast that filled in, they were guest hosts. They're a Canadian podcast, and I believe they're still around. Just go to hex19.com and listen to the Hex 19 Decaf. Geek Cast.
The Decaf Geek Cast.
Yeah, four Canadians from from Edmonton, Alberta, spouting poetic about Canadian nerd stuff. And last but not least, I recommend We're Alive, a zombie podcast. I've posted. Pencil me in, guys. And Joshua, you can consider yourself penciled in. And thank you for writing us. So that's listener feedback for this week. Once again, you can always find us on Facebook. We have a personal arrogance page, and we also have our Bald Move page. We're on both. We appreciate you following both. And you can write us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail. Didn't get a voicemail this week, guys, and left us with heavy hearts. So please give us a call. Leave us a voicemail at 360-362-0024. Jesse, you're ready for a tiny little Matt roll-off?
I couldn't be more ready. In fact, I was born and incarnated in the past life, pre-incarnated, ready.
Okay, great. So we're each going to roll a 20-sided dice, see who gets to talk first on the cast. And here we go.
I rolled a whopping 4.
I rolled a 14.
Well, that I believe – let me check the quantum math. Yes, you beat me there.
Are we in base 12?
Are we in base negative 10? Because then I think I won.
Maybe. Maybe base negative 11. So my first topic this week is actually also going to come from our Facebook page. This one, comes to us then from no other than our good friend Chris Mansfield. He says, you each are tasked. Jesse, this is our task. He says, you are each tasked with picking a five person super awesome superhero / villain dodgeball team, Marvel or DC. Who do you choose and why? Post a poll on the Facebook page and we'll choose the winning team. Your move, arrogance, draft wisely, get off my back.
Get
off my back, Chris. All right, Jesse. So we're going to do this draft style.
Mm-hmm.
I hope your dice is handy because we're going to have to roll to see who gets to pick first.
It is.
But the rules are we're drafting a five-person dodgeball team using only characters from the DC or Marvel universes. Okay? So here we go. We're going to roll one more time, and we're rolling.
How do I roll a 4 again?
Oh, I rolled a 12.
Well, great.
All right. So I get first pick, and I don't think that you can pick anybody else but Gambit first.
You got to be kidding me.
Well, he's going to charge up a ball, and he's going to throw it, and it's going to be super accurate. Plus, he's my favorite X-Man.
Well, Eric, I'm picking Magneto.
Why?
He's my team captain. You'll find out in a second why.
Oh God! All right, who do I have to pick defensively now?
So we're both going Marvel here. It looks like.
Well, does it have to be Marvel or DC, or does?
I guess
can you
not.
Go, can it cross?
Why paint ourselves into a corner?
All right. Well, shit. Okay. I'm trying to figure out. All right. Well, I'm just going to pick my next pick. Another guy with a great arm and a good skills at throwing things, and that's going to be the Green Goblin. Not to mention he can fly around, which is good for agility as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Gambit is my sharpshooter, and then Green Goblin is going to be my kind of dual threat.
Great.
Okay.
Iron Man, your turn.
Okay. My third pick is going to be none other than Plastic Man, because he will be impossible to hit. He'll just stretch around all the balls, and it will be impossible to hit him. So
okay.
he's my defensive guy.
Wolverine, your turn.
Okay. Wolverine's going to be good at catching the balls, but not going to be good at throwing them afterward because they'll be deflated. My number five goes along with this. It's going to be the Invisible Woman because she is also going to be nearly impossible to hit because she's invisible.
Yeah, that's a pretty good answer.
Fantastic Four. All right, Jesse, who's your fourth pick?
You know in the X-Men movies, that mm-hmm. chick who's like Wolverine, she has the yes. same like metal skeleton?
Yeah, Weapon X, I believe, is her name.
Uh-huh. I want her.
Okay.
Your
this
turn.
This is interesting because you have the villains and like I don't know how the team dynamic's going to be, but okay.
You'll see. I'm putting together a Machiavellian team here.
Okay, fine. You're doing strategic. So I got two throwers, and I've got two defensive people. So my final pick is going to be somebody who's a leader, somebody who's a badass, and somebody who has got the strategic vision to pull off a great team plan, and it's got to be Batman. Batman is pick number five.
Pretty solid. Okay, so my pick number five.
Yep.
I'm dipping into DC as well.
Good.
And I'm... This is the most literal interpretation possible. The Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
Superman.
Wow. So we got a great team rivalry going here.
Right. So here's my thing.
Okay.
I got Iron Man.
Yep.
He wears a suit of iron.
Right.
I got Wolverine. His bones are made of metal.
Great.
I got,
Weapon X.
Weapon X.
Yeah.
Her bones are made of metal. And I have the Man of Steel. They all have metal components, and who was my ringling leader? None other than Magneto. He, like the puppet master, will fly them through the air, deflecting dodgeballs, using them as weapons themselves to uh-huh. knock the dodgeballs back at your own players. Unbeatable.
Maybe.
I
just think it's going to be nearly impossible to hit Plastic Man and the Invisible Woman.
It doesn't even matter. I'm flinging Wolverine through the air like a freaking rag doll.
Well, you can't throw a person. You can't cross the line. This is where your theory falls apart. You can't cross the middle line.
I'm not throwing Wolverine. I'm using him like a ping pong paddle.
Okay. Oh,
a ball comes at me. Flick of the wrist, Iron Man. Flick of the wrist, Weapon X. Flick of the wrist, Superman. They're just flying right off their torsos back into your faces. Unbeatable.
But this is the thing, Jesse. Unless they catch the ball, then they're out. You can't just
bounce
it off of them.
Unless it ricochets off them and hits you.
I don't think that's true.
That is a rule.
I don't think that's a rule.
That's a total rule. It doesn't matter. Even if they go out, the rule states mm-hmm. if you're hit by a ball, then you can't have both your feet on the court, so he just uses you as a weapon.
Okay.
Wolverine's not playing. He's being used as a paddle.
Excellent. Okay.
He's a ping pong paddle. He's not a player.
Did they ever explore that about like Magneto just like trying to rip Wolverine apart from the inside?
Magneto can control Wolverine if we're talking adamantium Wolverine,
because
he can control his bones, but Wolverine can heal fast, so like he can heal faster than you could tear the skeleton out of him.
Right.
It would be extremely painful. Basically, Wolverine is neutralized by Magneto.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, it's up to you.
And that makes for a great team.
I also like that you're assuming that Man of Steel means that Superman is actually made of steel.
I think he's a solid choice. He's like regardless.
He's a T-1000 wrapped in. That's his secret.
That's what I meant by a very literal interpretation of the Man of Steel.
Yeah, he's got the laser eyes and everything. He's a T-1000. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, I think you're onto something here.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listener, this is up to you. We're going to post the poll on our Facebook page. Do a quick rundown one more time. Jesse's dodgeball team is Magneto, Wolverine, Weapon X, Superman, and...
Iron Man,
and...
He's getting rattled in his suit.
God, that hurts. And then my team is the Green Goblin, Gambit, Plastic Man, the Invisible Woman, and Batman. Batman being the strategic mind who will bring it all together. If there's one guy who can figure out how to beat Magneto, it's the Dark Knight. So, anyway.
I got freaking Supes on my team, dog.
Supes, dude. Batman ain't afraid of no Supes.
I believe canonically, yes, he is.
He is nigh afraid of Superman.
Well, they're kind of besties. They're like best frenemies.
They're frenemies.
It's like us and Bald Move.
Exactly. Best frenemies forever. So anyway, we're going to put this on our Facebook page. Please vote. And whoever loses next week has to do loser karaoke. Jesse, what is your first topic this week?
Well, speaking of precious metals,
yep,
which is the team name of my team.
Oh, Jesse, that's hilarious.
President Obama has weighed in on the importance of the penny.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, our neighbors to the north,
right,
have been legislating the removal of the penny from their currency system.
Right.
And as you may know, my home country, the great country of Australia, has eliminated the penny, which kind of sucks because it was a cute wombat on that penny.
Did they call them wombies?
Yeah, probably. But anyway, it's kind of becoming a topic of discussion in the United States now. Should we use the penny? Eric, I want to know your thoughts on this, but first I have some information to throw out there.
Okay.
For one, every penny costs 2.41 cents to make.
Perfect, great investment.
Which is kind of insane that and it comes to something like $58 million a year the U.S. government spends on making pennies.
$58 million. Yeah.
$58 million.
Compared to the overall budget.
Yeah, not a ton of money, but still, like, I don't know that we need the government spending $58 million a year for us to have the convenience of a penny.
Yeah, Felix Hernandez makes that in 2 years. So you're basically paying double Felix Hernandez. I say if the government could get two Felix Hernandezes, then it's all worth it.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Basically, someone asked Obama on some sort of like Google chat, I don't know, conference, why we still use the penny. And he said, that's a good question. I don't know. But in layman's terms, he was saying that he's too busy to address the issue of the penny, which makes sense. He's the leader of the free world, for crying out loud.
Yeah, we're not some commonwealth, after all.
Which literally has currency in the title of what the country is.
Yeah.
So it's no wonder they're so focused on it.
Yeah.
But here's something interesting that I didn't know, is that this issue's already kind of come up in terms of the military. And when it comes to the Army and the Air Force, the exchange services on their bases round up or down to the nearest nickel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's already kind of implemented in the U.S. Army, which is obviously a branch of the government.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's partially implemented already. And here's something, Eric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In 2006, basically they changed the the percentage of materials in the penny.
Right.
They switched it from mostly copper to mostly zinc.
Yep.
Because copper prices were going way up.
Mm-hmm.
Copper wire and copper tubing, freaking expensive. But then zinc prices went up also.
Ah.
And in 2006, the U.S. Mint prohibited the melting of pennies and nickels.
Okay.
And it was also made a crime to carry more than $5 in 1 and 5 cent coins out of the country.
What?
Did you know that?
More than $5?
More than $5.
Oh, man. Those car hoarders could not go into Canada.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty easy law to break without knowing. Yeah.
You basically can't transport a couch over international lines.
This is true. And yeah, there's been in 2011 an Ohio representative introduced the Sense, C-E-N-T-S, mm-hmm. and Sensibility Act.
Right. It's about smelling good, feel good.
Mandate that pennies were made out of American steel and dipped in copper, but coincidentally, Ohio happens to be a major producer in American steel.
Right. See, this is what I was thinking, is they should just make the pennies out of wood.
That would be impossible to counterfeit.
Exactly. And they would be super sturdy and not flammable.
Yeah. And basically, there's like all sorts of... There's this... let's see. Basically, the zinc lobby has lobbied over $340,000 to try and keep the penny around.
Yep. Zinc lobby.
And I found this website called retirethepenny.org.
Uh-huh.
And basically, it looks like something made in 1993 by a high school student.
Okay.
So about how the penny is stupid. And there's a lot of pictures of pennies... like on chairs, Adirondack chairs at the beach.
Yep.
And basically doing other things that retired people do.
Oh, I see. Actually retiring. Oh, wow.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm on the site right now. Well, at least they have a Facebook page.
I like where it says it makes sense.
Yes. When actually...
Please retire the sense and sense pun.
Well, the thing is, it actually doesn't make sense. It makes nickels.
Hey-o!
Hey-o. I also love that they have a whole section that's dedicated to continuing to honor Abe.
Yeah, with like the worst CGI picture of him ever.
Like,
it's that hard to find a picture of Abraham Lincoln.
Well, and the other thing is, like, he's already on two of our currency. He doesn't need to be on... Like,
yeah, he's on the $5 bill.
Exactly.
He has a whole monument.
Right.
You can do worse than just have a monument and be on the $5 bill. You can do worse. What do you think about this,
Eric? They took the monument off.
The penny.
They took the monument off the penny. Did you know that?
They did, and they put the kind of Iron Man-esque, Captain America-esque shield on it.
Right.
Which I like.
I just don't understand it.
Because people were confused.
Why?
They were like, is this an ice cream cake? What is on my currency?
Right. Is this the thing from the neighborhood of make-believe in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
Why is there an accordion on my penny?
Right.
Why do I even have a penny?
Plus, the Avengers were huge during that time, so.
Yeah. What's your take, though, Eric?
My take, and this might be even more controversial, so hold on to your hat.
You want to bring back the half cent.
Yes. My take is that why stop at the penny?
Yeah, I think we need to do some serious house cleaning.
I think that the most useless coin of them all is the nickel.
The nickel, yeah. It's big, it's fat.
It's big, it's fat, it's ugly. It's got Alexander Hamilton on it, who's another double up.
That's a good point.
It's like, I don't think I've ever spent a nickel on anything. I can't remember the last time I used a nickel. And, yeah, just the girth of the thing. Let's just round up to the tenth cent.
I agree. I do like that you can put a nickel on its side.
Right.
And it has the flat side.
Yeah, no serrated edges.
Which I enjoy. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, though. If you take it up to the dime,
mm-hmm.
is that Dwight D. Eisenhower?
Yeah, that's Eisy.
So he's almost a double up.
Right.
Because he's on the 50 cent piece.
What? No, that's
Oh, that's JFK.
That's JFK.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was mistaken.
Also, I find it weird that Eisenhower is on a coin, but FDR is not.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
So let's go ahead and move Eisenhower off the dime. Make it the size
of
it.
Benjamin Franklin off the hundo. He wasn't even a president.
Yeah, that's true.
We put FDR on there. He was elected four times.
Only president to be elected to more than two terms, and he was elected to four, and he won World War II, and he brought the country out of the Great Depression. The whole time he was suffering from polio.
Yeah, although, Eric,
yes.
You know, maybe I've stumbled onto something here.
Okay.
maybe we don't need to be eliminating currency, but introducing some new ones.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe FDR should be the $4 bill.
I like it.
He was the four-election president.
That's true. Give it the four.
I like that.
Yeah.
And while we're at it, mm-hmm. why did they make a new coin for the bicentennial? They made a bicentennial quarter.
Right.
Big whoop.
Mm-hmm.
They totally missed an opportunity to – I mean, bicentennial
right.
literally means 200. They
right.
should have made a $200 bill.
Or a $2 coin. Like the loonie.
A 200
Or the toonie.
Oh, a $2 coin would actually be pretty
– It's been working in Canada for a long time, the toonie.
You're onto something here.
Yeah.
Because the $1 coin is a perennial flop.
Totally.
But the $2 coin, I think people might sign on to that.
Well, this is the whole thing. I think you need to get rid of $1 bills and $2 bills and go straight to coins, get rid of the dime and the penny, and make the nickel with FDR on it. I think we figured this out.
Wow. You've just cleaned – you've cleaned up.
I cleaned it all up. I just tidied up the place. So
you have my vote for Secretary of Treasury.
Thank you. I can't
That's
wait.
That's an elected position, right?
That's, no. But oh, speaking of which, did you see the new Secretary of Treasury's signature?
Yeah, that's like six loops in
a row.
It's
just the most rinky-dink thing ever. So if we're putting Charlie Brown's hair on our dollar bills, let's just do a big reboot of this.
We need a reboot.
We need a reboot. So
what if we brought down the currency, though, so $1 equals 1 cent?
Great. I would love that. That always really confuses me is when you go to countries and everything's like 6,000 of whatever it is.
Right? We're on that track right now. Maybe we need to reel it in a little
bit.
Yeah,
or just reel it back in. All right. Anyway, let us know what your currency ideas are. Go ahead and email us, personalarrogance@gmail.com. Jesse, you ready for some little trivia?
Let's do eat.
All right. I'm going to roll a six-sided die. I rolled a two. I don't want to do entertainment. rolled a three.
We've
history.
Retired the entertainment.
Yeah.
Category.
We're very close to retiring arts and literature as well. but I rolled a three, so we're going to be doing history this week. Jesse, this is your forte. Don't screw it up.
I'll try not to.
We're going to be doing Genus 1 of Trivial Pursuit. Please play along at home. And Jesse, your first question is, who commanded the Allied landing at Normandy on D-Day?
Wow, that's serendipitous. It was Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Good old Eisy. I'll go with McCarthy just because, or MacArthur, not McCarthy, even though he wasn't around. General Dwight D. Eisenhower, you got it, J-Dog.
MacArthur was around.
Well, he wasn't in the area.
Oh, right. He was in the Philippines.
On the other side.
Right.
This was for me. What conflict was known as the War to End All Wars? I believe that was World War I.
I will call, you know, we don't have evidence that they didn't call the First Punic War that.
That's true.
So that's my take.
You know, all those Punic War archives got lost by Lawrence. Lawrence the archivist. World War I, I got it. All right, all tied up. Jesse, this question is for you. What's the International Criminal Police Organization better known as?
Interpol.
Interpol. Also another band. I'm going to go with the FBIzzle. You got it, Interpol. Okay.
FBIzzle.
And this one's for me. What was Jimmy Carter operated on for while? Oh, this is a terribly written sentence. What was Jimmy Carter operated on for while serving as president? I'm going to say, couldn't have been anything too serious. I'm going to say an appendectomy.
Something gallbladder?
Hemorrhoids.
What?
You want that to be national news?
Put that on the coin.
You know, there is a provision, there is a provision in the U.S. Mint that you have to be dead in order to be on U.S. currency. And it was put on
sucks.
In the late 1800s because that was back when people were just, you know, like each state had its own money.
Mm.
And this doctor put his face on a bunch of bills and they're like, well, you got to be dead.
And then he killed himself for the sake of immortality.
I'll show you the Massachusetts state dollar will live on.
And then everyone's like, who wants this dead weirdo on our currency?
I don't know. Let's just go to the national. Let's
put an eagle or a shield or something on there.
The Avengers were huge during that time. Jesse, you won.
Or Dr. Shield Eagle.
Yeah. Jesse, you won this week, so you didn't lose everything, but I did win the roll-off. So I got the second topic this week. I'm going to be talking about video games. I put a little video game intro song together, so I'm going to play that before I start jibber-jabbing. Here it is.
Here we go.
Finish him. So that's our video game song, and a special thanks to Mark Griffin who put that music together for us. I'm going to go right into video game news. We got some big news. This was brought up by Tony Blaise Serrano on our Facebook page, and it's been all over the geek wire lately. Tonight, the Sony announced the PlayStation 4 and all of the cool things that will be happening with the PlayStation 4. Now, before we talk about this, Jesse, I think we need to put a disclaimer out there. That we buy local, we are Microsoft Xbox 360 guys and not PSBS guys.
I buy the best console. I don't care where it's made.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying if the PlayStation 4 has the chops to make me want to buy one, I'm going to buy one.
Well, and this is the thing. So it came out tonight, and not only does it have an x86-64 AMD Jaguar 8-core CPU...
I don't know what that means.
Or an enhanced AMD next-gen Radeon GPU.
Doesn't Radeon kill you in your sleep?
Yes, but it also turns you into a superhero.
Oh.
Does
it allow me to use my peers as paddles?
As ping pong paddles.
That's the only superhero hero power I have. Super Piro is my name.
That's if you have friends who are superheroes, they're your super Piros. anyway.
Justice League Assemble.
There are some very cool things about this. So first of all, there's a controller. It's got an updated rumbler, which everybody wants. It's also got a touch screen, which is interesting. It doesn't really say what the resolution of the touch screen is. You know, we've all been kind of waiting for that screen on the controller for games like Madden so you can pick your plays without your friends seeing. Also games like Call of Duty where you have missions where somebody is kind of controlling the mission from the air or from a drone missile, and they can play that on their console or on their controller while you play the first person event on the TV. This screen looks pretty small, and it's apparently modeled after the PS Vita touchscreen, so may not be the coolest thing in the world, but there is a little bit of a screen on the controller, which is neato-ish. So are you sold yet, Jesse?
I've already placed my order for 7, and then I heard that you can't do that. So yeah. I bought a tent instead.
Good.
For camping out at Best Buy. I'm camping out currently.
Excellent. Well, I'm
coming to you live from the parking lot of Best Buy.
Great. The next thing that's cool about the controller, and this is actually something that this is what started piquing my interest in the PS4, is the share button. So apparently they are starting up their own PlayStation 4 social network that'll be on online, and they're teaming up with third-party developers like Facebook and that sort of thing. So you could share your events directly to Facebook or whatever social network you want by just hitting the share button on the controller. But the cool thing that I see in this is that you can also just instantly share what you're playing with your friends at any time. The reason why I think this is cool is because, like, when you guys are playing Halo and I come in for matchmaking, I have to sit there in the lobby for 15 minutes while you guys finish up your game, listening to you guys react to the blowing up world around you while I'm just sitting there looking at the Halo screen and it's, you know, the monks are singing to me. But in this way, I can actually sit there. I guess somebody did winter karaoke tonight.
yeah.
But this way I could actually just watch what you guys are playing, which is pretty cool. And I think that's worth like $400.
Well, not if you want to play Halo.
Yeah, that's true. The other part is that this is the part that really, really did pique my interest a lot, is the integration with the PS Vita. So the Vita is the PlayStation handheld console. And basically Sony said that they're going to their goal is to make every PS4 title playable on the Vita, which means that you'll be able to be playing your game on your console and you have to leave somewhere. You got to go on an airplane on a trip. So you can then upload the game to your Vita. You can play it on the plane. You can play it while you're on your trip. You can come home. And then you can upload it back to your PS4 and you pick up where you left off. So it's a seamless transition between your handheld experience and your console experience, which I think is pretty amazing. It's something that you know, should have been around a long time ago. But the
sounds like a lot of promises here, man. That I mean, especially since they use the word goal.
Yeah,
you know what a goal is? It's something that I can talk about how cool it would be and not actually deliver upon.
Or it's a really exciting event in a soccer stadium.
Yeah, but I feel like this is going to be like the last U.S.-Canada friendly exhibition match I saw in which no goals were achieved.
Yeah. Perfect analogy.
Thank you.
They also not only say it's their goal, they say it's their long-term goal.
Oh, awesome.
So other things that suck about this are that they let slip that the PS4 will not be backwards compatible to PS3. Everything's going to be saved to the cloud, which is kind of neat, which I like, so that your hard drive isn't going to fill up on your PS3. But they are saying that the cloud service, the cloud service will someday fulfill the demand for backwards compatibility. That sounds like another U.S. Canada friendly.
Totally. Are we forgetting what happened to the PS3?
What happened?
Well, you know, they got hacked.
Yep.
And like 500,000 people had their credit card information stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And then their PS network was down for like over four weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm glad to hear that they're investing more heavily in that and asking consumers to trust in that exact same service even more heavily. You have to be fucking kidding me. Are you insane?
Jesse, there's also a personalized entertainment center.
Well, you know, I do love my entertainment hyper-personalized.
Yep, there you go.
That is true. Now, this is absurd, especially because I'm someone, I play my Xbox offline. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to consume my stuff offline.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Why do I have to have a constant internet update, blah, 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 be constantly connected to the internet, and then rely upon your service, which has been proven in recent history to fail and be vulnerable to access the stuff that I pay money for?
Well, Jesse, this is the whole crux of the issue, is that if you want to live in a world where you're not perpetually connected to the internet while you're playing a game, you're going to be left behind pretty quickly. You better dust off your N64.
Cause... You know what? I'll dust off my checking account and just buy a bunch of Lego pieces.
There you go.
And I'll be totally happy. I'll buy more board games and play board games with my friends.
So the final big news on this is that for the first time in history, you will be able to play a Bungie title on a PS system. And Destiny, which is the new Bungie game, is going to be available on the PS4.
Sometime in 2014, maybe.
And so Destiny is something that I'm very excited about. Basically what Destiny is it's Halo, but they put new skins on it and then did some other stuff with it. It's so funny because it's like they didn't really stray too far from the story of Halo with this Destiny thing. Basically, you're on Earth, you're a human, there's been these outside alien forces that have nearly destroyed the planet except for one town, which is has a thing called, I think it's the Followers above it.
That town is called Master Chiefville.
Right. And
you grow crops and trade with your friends.
And instead of playing as Master Chief, you play as a guardian who is defending the universe from alien forces. But there are some pretty cool elements to this. It takes place in our solar system, and you'll be able to jump from the Earth to the Moon to Mars to Venus. That's what they've talked about so far, hopefully. Oh, and also moons of Jupiter. So it'll be cool. You get to explore the solar system a little bit, which I think is cool. There'll be different aliens on every planet. And also the thing that makes it interesting is it's called a shared world shooter, which they're shying away from calling it an MMO. But basically what it is it's in a perpetual world. So you'll be getting social network updates on your phone saying, hey, we're going to go, take Venus tonight. And then, you can go or, whenever you go into a new world, it will automatically matchmake you with other players who are in that world, which I think is pretty cool. It's basically taking matchmaking to the next level. And so you might run into other players as you're going through your missions throughout this world. So it's taking elements of MMORPGs and elements of matchmaking and shooter and multiplayer play and kind of melding them together in this futuristic solar system-based first-person shooter. But I'm excited about it. I think it'll be neato. What do you think, J-Dog?
Well, J-Dog is jaded.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, I've heard this from, like, Tribes and, like, 1,000 different MMOs and everything. And, I mean, we'll see what they deliver, but I'm not going to get my hopes up until I see an actual functional product.
Well, this is the whole thing, Jesse, is that it's not just any company that's doing this. It's the company that brought us Halo, which is, like, our favorite game. Like, if you're going to trust anybody, this is the company to trust?
I don't know, man. Like, maybe Ford's a great automobile manufacturer, but they also put out the Fiesta. They put out the F-150, great, then that's a perennial all-star, but they also put out the Fiesta. So I don't know.
The modern Fiesta is a pretty good car. If you're talking about the late 80s Fiesta, then we have another story. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you got to take it with a grain of salt, but at the same time, I have very strong customer loyalty to Bungie.
I don't have customer loyalty to any publisher.
Well, this isn't a publisher, it's a developer.
Whatever. I've been burned too many times in the past. There's no way I'm going to get hyped up over something that's promising a bunch of stuff. And they don't even have screenshots. They have art.
Well,
art is cool and all, but that's not actual tactile gameplay or anything. It's a bunch of ideas. Like, I could sit here and be like, I had the best idea for a game. You have a bunch of gold, and that's the standard of your currency, but maybe it's silver. And then you have hedge funds, and hedge funds are awesome, and blah, blah, blah. And it probably wouldn't be fun.
All right. Well, I don't know. I'm keeping my hopes up. I'm excited to see this at PAX next year. I was hoping that it would be like a launch title for the Xbox 720, but apparently they're going cross-platform, which I don't blame them. I mean, why would you confine yourself to a single console? But I don't know. I'm keeping my hopes up for this one because also I'm not into MMOs, and this could be like the first MMO type experience on a console that I would actually get into because everything seems to be working from what I've heard so far. So, anyway, that's Destiny. That's the PS4. Your thoughts, please email us, personalarrogance@gmail.com. Jesse, what's your second topic?
Well, continuing the tech trend, we've been hearing a lot of news about the Google Glass.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard about this?
Yeah, basically, the Google Goggles?
It's Google Goggles, but they're, I guess, rebranding it as Google Glass because it's a pair of glasses that you would wear.
Because Google Goggles sounds ridiculous.
It really does. I would love to have been the intern who was like, Google Glass would be cool.
I would
and then
hate
they
to
killed
be...
him and buried him in the Mojave Desert and was like, that was our president's idea.
Yeah, I would hate to be that intern.
Would you?
Yeah, there'd be no you'd find no glory in that. Anyway, so what's the Google Glass about?
I don't know. You could be the guy that's like, when you're getting coffee for your boss, being like, I came up with Google Glass.
And then he's like, yeah, can you clean up my dog's shit? It just shit on my carpet.
I will do that, boss, after I come up with another great idea like Google Glass that you didn't come up with, Google Glass.
So what's going on with Google Glass?
Well, I mean, it sounds like they've kind of gotten the framework, as it were, for it, which is basically glasses you wear that they would display information. Like, if say you look at a building and it's like, I know what this building is, and this is the reviews for it, and let me give you this information if you want it.
Uh-huh.
And you look at a person, and you're like, is this person on the sex offender registry, yes or no? And they're like, nope, it's cool. Go ahead and shake that person's hand.
Don't ride the bus with Google Glass. You will freak out.
It's just red alert all the time. Yeah. Get off bus now. You are in danger.
God.
But the thing is that now they are trying to partner up with certain, I guess, optical producers to find more fashionable frames.
Excellent.
So, what they're saying, the glasses are a major step towards a dream of what's known as ubiquitous computing.
Yeah.
The idea that computers and the internet will be accessible anywhere and we can ask them to do things without lifting a finger.
This is the begin of the decline of Western civilization as we know it.
If you mean that in that all civilization, Western, Eastern, Northern, and Southern will become unanimous as a global civilization, Eric.
No, what I mean is that no one will get any work done.
Anyway, there was an interesting quote here because I thought the whole, like, we need to find more fashionable frames for these things is a little bit silly. And I read this article and it basically ended with, if you do things that are very useful, it becomes fashionable.
Okay.
I think if you had the ugliest frames ever, but you had these like sweet Google goggles that basically showed you all sorts of information from your eyes at the, I don't know, especially if it had like a neurological input where you could communicate with it without speaking.
Yeah, which we talked about in last week's show.
Exactly. Plugging stuff it's like your brain. The evolution of cyborgism. Mm-hmm. Then the fashion would follow it. It would become fashionable because it's so damn cool.
Well, Jesse, I think that there's one company that kind of disproved that.
Bluetooth headsets?
No. Apple. Apple said, you know what? You can have your computer, and it can be the coolest computer in the world. It can have a super fast processor. It can have tons of RAM. It can have the best video card and the best sound card. It can have the best display. But guess what? It's not as cool as an Apple product because an Apple product is fucking cooler. And that is what happened.
And what percentage of the PC or computing market does Apple control?
Well, let's just take a look at two companies, Microsoft or Apple. Which one is more profitable? Right now, Apple is. So, there you gizzle.
Well, so there you are
with
your freaking iPad. Trying to be all cool.
Yeah.
And then I have my Google goggles. I'm like, oh, look at this funny video of you in a middle school band where you pooped your pants and then ran off stage. How cool are you now, Apple?
Exactly.
I just uploaded that into my eyes. Look, I'm sharing it with my buddies. All my buddies who have Google goggles right now, they all saw that. How cool are you, Mr. iPad? Not very.
Well, that's the other thing that's kind of awful about this is that, like, now you
can't. Oh, you're blushing right now? I am actually recording that. I just uploaded it to YouTube, Google Goggle Edition. You can't see that on your iPad, but we can. Oh, a million likes already. Hilarious.
I just feel like I don't want to live in the world where the only way you can get away from advertisements is by closing your eyes.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
but I already kind of live in that world, Eric.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Here's a personal lamentation.
Right.
I work where I work. We have a FM radio that we listen to all day long. And on days where I start the shift, we listen to 107.7 The End. On days where my boss listens to starts the shift, he listens to 102.5 KZOK.
Yeah, and that's just incentive for you to get there early.
Yeah, basically. And KZOK constantly, I mean 20-plus times in an 8-hour shift, has Danny Bonaducci trying to sell me a mattress. I mean, it's implanted in my brain. I could recite the advertisement to you right now in Danny Bonaducci's voice. It's that prevalent. And I mean, it's already there.
Don't knock it till you try it. We actually bought our mattress from Danny Bonaducci. It was secondhand, but it is still super comfy.
It smells a lot like 8-hour energy.
It smells exactly like 8-hour energy. Citrus flavor.
And chew tobacco.
Yeah.
So, delicious.
But it's just let the tobacco smell and caffeine residuals lull you to sleep. Danny Bonaducci's used mattress.
That's the thing in his advertisement, is like, you need a Sleep Country bed. We'll even get rid of your nasty old mattress. I'm like, Danny, my mattress is fine. Maybe your mattress is disgusting, but my mattress is actually in high top quality condition.
Stop projecting your mattress on me, Daniel.
Exactly. Literally. He's throwing mattresses at me all day.
Well, and also, I mean, I would challenge the listener to look around you right now and see how many advertisements are actually around you. Even in your home. Like, everything's an ad these days.
Everything is an ad.
When I was a boy, when
this
I was a boy,
to you by the 2013 Kia Sorento.
Yeah, Kia Sorento. Step into a 2013 Kia Sorento. Nothing more fashionable or practical or rugged. Something for all your family members. Kia Sorentos. Hit them up. By the way, Sleep Country, we're still waiting for a copy.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Google goggles. First of all, it's ridiculous to say it. Even Google Glass, because it just
Google
sounds
glass?
Like Google Glass. Like,
well,
the Google
that's the
dolls.
Thing is, Google, I wonder how they feel about this, because I kind of established a precedent of an absurd name to begin with.
And also, their whole thing is don't be evil, and this sounds like the beginning of evil. It's just the beginning of you'll never turn this off. I mean, I just imagine the idea of like a married couple just sitting there in silence, staring forward into their Google Glass for hours in bed instead of speaking to each other. They're just sitting there checking their Netflix on Google Glass.
Well, you know, some couples would say that's a bonus.
Well, that really bums me out, man.
I'm kidding. Not me personally.
Well, anyway, Google Glass. I'm giving it a thumbs down for right now. Jesse, what are you giving it?
Wow, it's been a while since we've done this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving it one thumbs up.
Okay. We shall
tentatively.
See. Okay. Well, I think that's all the time we have for topics. Before we move into our recommendations, we got a couple of house cleaning things to talk about. First of all, don't forget to send us a voicemail. Guys, we didn't get any voicemails this week, and we're super bummed about it. I want to hear
hell,
your
Dennis?
Voice. Yeah, Dennis Kleinbeck.
And Dotsy.
Dotsy? D&D, baby, come on.
I thought we were friends.
Or any of our listeners can give us a call, 360-362-0024. If you call us, we will, I repeat, we will play it on the podcast. I don't care what you say. We will play it on our podcast. If you just call us, 360-362-0024. And you can always write us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. We've been getting a bunch of Twitter likes lately. We've also been getting a bunch of rate and reviews on iTunes. Speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, it's our ad time. So you thought listening to this podcast was just fun. You thought it was just, oh, this is a fun thing that happens to my ears. But guess what, guys? It gets better. not only can you just have fun listening to us, but you can also win a Kindle Fire. That's
what?
Right, guys. Bald Move, the Bald Move Network, is giving away a Kindle Fire. This is a tablet. It's cool. It's fun. And it's in color.
NHD. I have one. I actually use mine all the time.
Yeah.
And daily.
We're just giving it away to one of our listeners. Guys, we're not like a big conglomeration. We're not like Earwolf or Adam Carolla. We're just a bunch of people who like to podcast. But we're still giving away free junk to you because we love you so freaking much. We love you. And we love putting our sound into yours. Here's the details of the contest. Bald Move is giving away a free Kindle Fire. How do you win? It's easy. Just promote one of our shows, preferably Personal Arrogance, on Twitter. Leave us an iTunes review or promote us on some other social media site and enter the link to your promotion to baldmove.com/contest. There's a little form there. Remember, for us to verify your link, it must be publicly viewable. So basically, all you do is you either put something on Facebook about Bald Move, about Watching Dead, about The Because Show, about Personal Arrogance, and then you just send us the link to that that comment. You can send it to us. We have the form all set up at baldmove.com/contest. You can enter as many times as you promote our link. Just fill in the form for each time you do it. After the contest is over, we will randomly select an entry and inform you by email that you have won a Kindle Fire. The contest runs till March 19th. So, guys, get on it. Win a Kindle Fire. All you have to do is say, Personal Arrogance rules here. Find them here and then put and then go to baldmove.com/contest and tell us that you did it, and then you're entered. It's pretty easy. So if you want the details, go to baldmove.com/contest, and there you go. That's it. Do it.
It's easy. It's cool, and you should do it because, well, everyone loves an underdog, right?
Everybody loves an underdog.
We're a little bit of the underdog in this fight.
We are the underdog in the Bald Move world. We're the small puppy. But guess what, guys? We got a big bite.
Mm-hmm.
And our big bite
and
is
we
our,
need you to be that bite.
Yeah, we need our listeners to be that bite. So please, guys, go on there, check it out, baldmove.com/contest, and do it. And speaking of which, we have a brand new Bald Move member of the Bald Move family. We're very, very excited. Up yours downstairs. The great, great Downton Abbey podcast is now a part of the Bald Move Network. Couldn't be happier about this. I know that there are a lot of people out there who love Downton Abbey and who cry and laugh and gasp at every episode. But guess what? Nobody cries, laughs, or gasps louder than Kelly and Tom from the Up Yours Downstairs podcast. Please check them out, baldmove.com. They're part of the family. And we're very, very happy to have them. Also, you can like them on Facebook. Right now, they have 666. That's the number of likes they have on Facebook, which I think is kind of
so. Don't ruin
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so don't
for
ruin
God's
that.
Sake.
Leave
like
it
us
there
instead.
But up yours downstairs, we couldn't be happier that you're here. Of course, The Watching Dead is back. So that's happening. We have the Bald Move TV podcast. We got the Because Show. The Game of Thrones Night's Watch is coming up. So, guys, Bald Move is throwing a bunch of shit in your ears and listen to it because it tastes so great from your eardrum taste buds. All right, Jesse, ready for a reco?
Yes, sir.
What's your first recommendation?
Oh, springing it on me.
Yeah.
Well, it's more of a hypothetical recommendation. A friend of mine on my Facebook feed had the funniest idea.
Uh-huh.
I feel like if we all get in our collective consciousness, it just might happen.
Okay.
It's the idea. It's the name of the next Die Hard movie.
Okay.
So I just want everyone to think about it and put those mental waves out there. Maybe it'll happen.
Uh-huh.
Eat shit and die hard.
I love it.
They could Would even, that be the best?
Dude, there was a show on CBS starring William Shatner called Shit My Dad Says. So if that can happen, then definitely Bruce Willis could be in a movie called Eat Shit or
Die
Hard.
Yeah, but it was all bleeped out is the thing.
Well, it would have to be for the
posters.
It was
bleeped out on Shit My Dad Says.
Yes, I know, but it would have to be for the posters as well.
Right.
But there could be a Red Band trailer.
Eat Shit, Die Hard.
There could be a Red Band trailer. Eat Shit, Die Hard. I always just thought it should just be Old Habits Die Hard, because now he's getting so old.
Oh, no, that's really good, too.
Yeah.
Well, we need two movies, then. What's your reco?
My first reco this week is actually going to be, Jesse, this is going to be a little controversial, but please hear me out. This is a...
Fuck you.
I'm sorry. This is a preemptive fuck you for this, but it's a Kevin Smith podcast. This is one of the Smodcasts, and I've been listening to the hell of it. I've been listening to the hell out of it this week, and it is Fat Man on Batman, where Kevin Smith each week interviews somebody from the Batman universe, whether it's Adam West or whether it's Mark Hamill or whether it's somebody from... one of the writers, Scott Snyder, was on there. He's right now. I'm listening to the podcast where he's talking about all of the animated TV series, which I grew up on as a kid. And it's just a lot of Batman love, and that's why I had to put Batman on my dodgeball team, because I love Batman, and this is really fun. It's fun to listen about Batman every week. Probably my favorite superhero. So if you like Batman too, Fat Man on Batman, it's worthwhile.
That's hilarious.
Why?
Oh, it's just a great name.
Yeah, it is a good name. And he says it's from the Fat Cave every week. And the other thing about it is you can audibly hear him smoking marijuana throughout the podcast. Like, you could hear the lighters, like, in the same way you could hear us drinking beer, like popping beer bottles and burping. You can hear him, like, lighting the lighter, and then you can hear him, like, just go into coughing fits, and he just leaves it in. So
there you go.
Anyway. And then when he gets on a tangent, he calls it a pothole, which I think is pretty funny. Anyway, this is...
Yeah, that's actually... There's a lot of good goofs there.
It's a goof thing, but it's also really solid. Interesting. It's a solid podcast, Fat Man on Batman. Jesse, what's your recommendation?
There was a great episode of Stuff You Should Know podcast recently on brain myths.
Yeah.
So basically, popular myths about the brain. Are they true or not? Spoiler alert, they're not, because they're myths. So... Real interesting to listen to, though.
They should just get the Mythbusters on those.
Well, they're busy.
Yeah. Adam Savage actually has his own podcast. It's called the Still Untitled Podcast. It's mildly interesting if you're looking for a podcast to listen to.
Always confuse him with the other Dan Savage.
Yeah, I know.
It's like an impossible roadblock in my brain to overcome.
They need to have a podcast together.
Oh, that would be the best.
Savages.
They could blow savages. They could blow up dildos and stuff.
It'd be awesome. All right, my second invitation this week is going to be Airbnb. This is where we stayed when we were in Whidbey Island. We stayed in an Airbnb, and it was awesome. Like, it was very cheap. We got a good room. We got like a bathroom that was nice. But the kicker was
you're really selling it.
Yeah, I really got a seller.
Did you get Air Bud?
We got Air Bud.
One of the beats.
We got Air Bud on D&D.
Air Bud and a bathroom.
Yes.
A little bit.
We also got a hot tub, which was great. It was a really nice place, and it was very cheap. And there are a lot of places on there where you can rent out a whole apartment or a whole house for like less than $100 a day, which is cheaper than a hotel room. So Airbnb, it's a good place, especially if you're going to a con. Check it out for PAX East. Check it out for Comic-Con down in San Diego. Check it out for PAX. I would highly recommend Airbnb. I had nothing but a pleasant experience there. So, do it. And I think that's about it, Jesse. I think we got everything covered. Do you have anything else for us?
Just personal anecdotes.
Oh, okay. You got like a 45-minute topic we could delve into?
Mm-hmm. I sure do.
Okay.
I'll save it for next week.
Save it for next week. Listener, thank you so much for listening. We always appreciate it, and we'd like to remind you that wherever you go...
And whatever you do...
Please!
God bless America!
Stay... Ah, crap.